going out on the phone now to Aylin Robinson, who is president of the Lansing City Council. Good evening, Aylin. How are you this evening?
I'm great, Cheryl. How are you?
Well, you're heading in a couple of hours into another city council meeting, and one of the big subjects this evening, of course, will be the proposed medical marijuana ordinance. There was a public hearing last week as well. How did that go, and how are you moving forward in the process?
Well, certainly very carefully, cautiously, and thoughtfully, but our meeting last week shed a lot of insight. I think for both sides, it's very easy to become very monolithic in your viewpoint and not have the ability to understand that council is grappling with a myriad of viewpoints from lots of different angles. And knowing that, I think helped to make the discussion a lot more balanced. And we collected a lot of good information.
Well, as we move forward, and again, this is a proposed ordinance at this part, at this point, I'm wondering about all the different sides that you hear from. I tried to get a hold of somebody who I believe spoke at the public hearing last week, someone from TNT, a dispensary in downtown Lansing on Michigan Avenue, because they were concerned about the operating hours changing, because they currently are open 24 hours a day. I mean, there's so many levels and layers to an ordinance for medical marijuana. There's no one layer to this. There's so many involved.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad that you acknowledge that. That is one tentacle that comes off of this thing. We have the hours of operation issue, the grandfathering issue. We have the zoning issue, where to place them. Should they be clustered? Should they, many individuals have come and made recommendations of things that are simply outside of the purview of council. They should be in the pharmacies. We should tax them extensively. And again, all those things are outside of council's purview. So educating the public to that fact, as well as being able to explain, well, here's the rationale behind spreading them out. Here's the rationale of grandfathering them. We added in additional footage and buffering in some of the areas, and how far they have to be apart from one another, as well as how far they have to be apart from a school, a church, a licensed daycare. So when you say there are layers to this, I don't think we've begun to pull all of the layers back, but we're working feverishly to try and do that.
Well, and you're working feverishly because you're under a deadline of July 1st, because that's when the current moratorium ends, a moratorium on licenses anyway, ends July 1st. And just for folks, just to back up a step, what does that mean? After July 1st, what happens?
Well, after July 1st, everyone is out of order. We have no rules. We have nothing that says you're okay to operate at all. So we would be in quite a quandary if we were to let the moratorium sunset and dissolve. So that's one of the reasons we're working so hard to make sure that we have an ordinance in place. It's also been recommended, and we acknowledge that some neighborhoods have pulled together and are spending a lot of time that have asked us, because of their entry point into this discussion, they feel they were behind the eight ball of sorts to get in and offer their suggestions. But they've asked us to extend the moratorium, and that has not gained the type of support that it needed for us to do that. So we are still working to the end of getting this done. And tonight, of course, at 7 p.m. at City Council, is our public hearing to hear from the public and allow them to yet again weigh in. We took it out into the community at the Foster Center last week, and I know that I had everyone out at Second Saturdays from the Third Ward perspective, and we're getting an enormous amount of email traffic as well over the issue. So we're grappling with a number of things.
Well, and when you talk about extending it, because we're up against that deadline, so you're not looking to extend it and prolong the issues and the problems. You're looking to resolve this before July 1st and have a proposal in place that's going to address these many layers, as we're calling it this evening.
Absolutely. It was council's desire to put a six-month moratorium in place, and we need to work to stay within what was identified as a reasonable amount of time to get this work done. and committee began actively working on this part of the issue because we had to first clean up the list because we had some folks who were on the moratorium list and should not have been, and so that took some time to have that take place. But we've been actively doing this. We've had, I believe it was 23 meetings that were listed surrounding this issue so far. So we've certainly not been dragging our feet, but again, as you mentioned earlier, it is a very intense and very involved and layered issue, and we're working to make sure, because there are going to be some case scenarios that we're just not going to be able to foresee. And so for as much as we know, we're putting an ordinance in place that we believe will address as many issues as we possibly can.
Well, and as we've talked before, and as I've talked with the mayor of East Lansing, Vic Loomis, on the same topic, there were so many areas, some feel, left unclear when this went into effect in 2008, which the ballot initiative, that cities and municipalities are now left to try to clear up all the things that were left a little gray.
Absolutely, and what's unfortunate about that, I think, at the top end, is the fact that the general public many times don't know those gray areas, and then they're holding the municipality accountable for addressing them, many of which are outside of our authority area, and we're unable to address them. And the big one is a misnomer that we are able to tax into infinity this particular industry, which we have been told and are very clear on that would be discriminatory, that we can only assign fines or fees that are directly associated with the work. If we have to send someone out to inspect the location, how much did that cost per hour with the gas that was involved and any other equipment that was used? So building that understanding, again, is going to help, I think, waylay some of the concerns and the misnomers that are currently in existence.
And as you mentioned, I don't think it's a bad thing to mention again, at 7 p.m., yes, it's a council meeting, but a public hearing as well on this issue. And there's another one, though, coming up on the 23rd as well, at an early hour at 4:30, if my information is correct. Again, attempting to include everybody who wants to speak to this at different time frames and attempting to accommodate that.
Correct. The one coming up on the 23rd is the Committee of Jurisdiction for this particular ordinance, which is public safety, which I sit on myself, Councilmember Holden and Councilmember Wood, that chairs it. That meeting is at 4 p.m. in the council conference room.
Well, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were. I had interrupted you. I apologize. I remember talking again with Vic Loomis, the East Lansing mayor, as they were going through the process, and it's exhaustive. The process is trying to anticipate things that you can't possibly anticipate.
Oh, absolutely. And we are certainly aware of other areas that have grappled with this and have put some things into place, and we are trying desperately to make sure that what we are creating fits for Lansing and all of the nuances that happen within our city. And that's what some of the going into the community and having the meetings, certainly the public hearing is a part of what we have to do, but we've gone above and beyond that with opening committee meetings up and allowing a lot of discussions at that level and individuals to have some input into how we're crafting this ordinance.
Are you comfortable with how it's reading at this point in time, or getting close to being comfortable with what the proposal looks like at this point?
I am certainly more comfortable with draft 4 than draft 1, and I think that we are pretty close. And I think we'll be able to get, I'm extremely confident that we'll be able to get this done within the time frame so that we won't be faced with a moratorium that has lapsed and or sunsetted. So I am comfortable. I think, again, there are some areas that can be tweaked, and we have yet to hear from the full body and additions or subtractions or edits that our colleagues would like to see happen. So that'll be interesting once it does come to the floor for the full body to weigh in on. But for all that the committee can do, I'm pretty comfortable in the process that we've gone through and the draft that we're going to present to council.
Well, the work that's gone into it is certainly impressive, and I too am confident that you're working awfully hard towards that end. And in the middle of all this, of course, are budget issues going along as well. The plate is always full.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're again moving quickly to that July 1 time frame that so many things are culminating at. And we're hopeful. We're getting reports that negotiations are yet ongoing, and that our desire is, as the full body, to have the revenue sharing dollars be put towards a cooperative resolve to some of the woes in personnel and staffing. We're getting good reports that the negotiation is still taking place, and that's good to hear.
Well, A-Lynn, as always, you're heading towards that meeting at 7 o'clock shortly. I appreciate your time and your perspective on these issues so very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.